You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And scripture reading will be in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 21. Our followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us, giving himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not consistent, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But no man deceive you with vain words. But because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with him. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or putting to a test what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather convince them otherwise. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things which are unveiled are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, consistent, not as fools, but as wise, buying up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be drunk or controlled, if you will, with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, God, for these few minutes that we wait upon you, we do look to you for your grace in a very special way. As you take us aside now from the hurry and the rush of things, and that our minds might be given over to the energy of the Holy Spirit, as he takes you the things of Christ and makes them alive. Consequently, we realize we need cleansing constantly, and we look to you for this cleansing now as you do your marvelous work in our midst, beginning with me, in order that you may bless us, and turn not only to give a blessing here, but to receive it. Thank you for attending to these details. Because we ask these graces here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray, amen. Now to pull our thinking together, we've been dealing with what the scripture calls the mystery, that sacred secret which was revealed to the Apostle Paul, addressed to us Gentiles and Jews. You see, until the close of the book of Acts, there was a distinctiveness between the Jew and the Gentile, a wall of partition. Scriptures are very concrete and strengthening on this statement. But today, God is not dealing with a nation, he's dealing with the nations. And for the first time in all history, for 1900 years now, God has been speaking to the nations, individual people, to take out a people for his own namesake. It has nothing to do with the prophetic writings or the law, the things that were revealed prior to this revelation given to the Apostle Paul. It's contained in seven short little letters given to Paul to pass on to us. It is our private mail, so to speak. It is for our faith obedience. As it is written, Now unto him is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ concerning the revelation of the mystery, which was always hidden, but now is made manifest for faith, obedience. It's a sad commentary, but most of Christendom knows nothing at all, hardly, about this subject. Consequently, today, the darkness that prevails among Christendom is sad. Many of you may have seen just last week the largest body of Protestant people in the world, under the heading of the National Council, World Council of Churches, and a report upon them should sadden every saint's heart in America and the world over. Even one of their own said that the terrible thing about it is not that they promote communist movements, but that ministers themselves actually lie. Think about that. And basically, it's because they do not know that God has a message to the nations individually. He does not have a social gospel. He has a saving gospel of the soul. And so, for these few past weeks, we've been looking at the first three chapters of Ephesians, which deal with our inheritance, our calling, and what our hopes can truly be because God has said it. Some of it is so almost unbelievable. We're the only people in all the history of the world that God has ever called to be seated with his Son far above all principalities and powers in the heavens even. Nowhere in Scripture will you find any such promise until you come to the mystery as revealed to the Apostle Paul. The sad thing of it is, America, like all other nations, are ignorant of this fact. And most of God's people are. Because the great emphasis has been in most of Christendom to save, get the saved lost. The lost saved. You see, the devil's busy too. Lord, you let's stop that fella. He's getting in the way. I can see that real quick. But anyway, it is true. And that this is not to take away from the ministry to the lost. God knows this is number one. But to neglect of ministering to God's people is the saddest thing under the sun. Now, after having stated this wonderful thing before us, we're told in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where our lesson really begins, chapter 5 is simply an extension, we're to walk worthy of this calling. And we're told how this is done, first by a unity of the Spirit in the first 7 verses of chapter 4. This moving on into a latter ministry of that same chapter toward a unity of the faith, which we certainly don't have today, because you can look on every name on every church different. And not to blow our own horn, but I am blowing it. If you look at the front doors there, you'll find it says North Side Bible Church. That means we're on the north side of town and we teach the Bible. If that's a bragging, well, that's what we're bragging about. That's all we teach here, is the Word of God. Now, we're to walk worthy of that calling, moving first to the unity of the Spirit. And there are 7 different foundations that this can be built upon, because we don't have unity of the faith, but we can have unity of the Spirit. We trust that in God's purpose there will be unity of the Spirit, of the faith too. These different doctrinal differences. When this is true, we will have unity of the body then, which we don't have either. The body is sick today. The body of Christ is sick. It's dying, except by the grace of God. A few little handfuls here and there that proclaim this truth. And perhaps if there is a degree of sin, the most horrible sin amongst God's people is a sin of omission. We're told that we're to put off the old man, the old nature. This is the problem. God's people have not done that. It's the old man that dogs our heels everywhere we turn. I read this several times, but since some of you have not been here, If you don't have a little copy of this, I want you to pick one up as you go out. It depicts so well the Christian today. A dead man walks with me. He makes my footsteps slow. He looks with lust upon the world, shames me as I go. He's shackled to my cross, my very life ensnares. For what I would, he will not do. And what I won't, he dares. A dead man walks with me. His presence, though I try, I cannot hide. His carnal form is plain to every eye. He's a sinful man, and thus he will remain. Until the grave shall be his bed, he even shares my name. The dead man walks with me. He does not know the way to heaven's bliss, where someday I must go and he must stay. For soon my Lord will come to break the ties that bind, and when the sting of death is gone, the dead I'll leave behind. Now God states this very clearly too in his epistle to Colossians, which is also a part of this mystery, that we've died with Christ and our life is hid with God in Christ. That should be a comfort to you when you look at yourself for what you are. Last week we learned that we're not only put off the old man, but we're to put on the new. If we stole, we are to stop stealing. If we lied, we're to stop lying. If we get mad, we're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. Certain other things. But today we come to something that plagues all mankind. As our lesson begins in chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God, dear children. Now you're going to fall far short of that, but that's the goal. Paul said, I press, I agonize toward that goal. I walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Love in the scriptural sense is not what we hear propagated today, because love never fails. And human love always fails. But God's love never fails. It's stronger than death. I'm so glad of that. Because he made a show open. He triumphed over death. And it was the energy and the motivation of love that brought that to pass. Some of the things that mark our human nature and the old man: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, jesting, and not being consistent, nor giving thanks for what God has done for you. Verse 5, don't you know that that word whoremonger is actually fornicator? Certainly would include that, but it's a much broader word than that. Many people are not what the world calls a whoremonger, but they are fornicators. It's a much stronger word. And it's not limited to any one sex. It has to do with, in the final analysis, it's summarized in the last word there, idolatry. Now, God has given us freedom of all things to enjoy. But there has to be a balance in life. Today, we've almost gone back to the days of Caesar. Bread and circuses is about all we have everywhere you turn. Feed the belly and show them a good day, good time. You look at turn your televisions on, you see it constantly. Athletics, which is for our enjoyment, has become almost a form of idolatry. Look at your own thinking in the matter. As I made mention a couple of 3 weeks ago, there's a lot about Greek philosophy that's damning. But there's one thing, in every lie almost, you find some little grain of truth somewhere. It's like a garbage pail. You search long enough, you might find something in there. But one thing that they did emphasize was, man, know thyself. And that's good advice. And the only way you can really know yourself is look in the mirror. Here's the mirror. And it's complete. There was a time when Paul wrote the Corinthian letter. He said, we see in the mirror hazily. Or as your Bible says, we look darkly. But it's a hazy look, because the Word of God was not complete. But when the mystery was written, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26, this was done to complete the Word of God. The mirror is complete. Everything is there for you to see yourself as you really are. And when you see yourself as you really are, as John puts it in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. But you won't like what you see. And the reason why you won't like it is because you will see yourself as God sees you. And he either sees the action of the old man, who's dead, as we read about a while ago, or he sees you as a new creation in Christ Jesus, where your life is hidden. These things that are do's and don'ts here referred to are, in a sense, in the Greek forms, are to practice these things. Because all of us are guilty in one degree or another. But we don't make it a practice of our life. Now, there's some weaknesses in life that God, you'd like to get rid of. There's no saint living that doesn't have some holy ground he doesn't wish to talk to anybody about. And this can be a drag. It can be something that puts you in such a guilty way that you just can't enjoy life at all. And God has come to give us an abundant life. Doesn't mean that abundant life does not mean riding on cloud nine all the time. An abundant life is a life that's lived full. It enters into everything. Sometimes it's sorrow. But there can be joy and sorrow. In our lesson today, it said giving thanks for all things. That's hard to do when the roof falls in. It's hard to look up and say, Lord, thank you. It's hard. But you see, if you really are walking in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. Nothing's too hard for God. He's the God of circumstances. Remember that. Now, you can listen and learn. That's what knowledge is. Trust that the Holy Spirit will make these things clear to you as I speak. But then we're told something else. Not only to have knowledge, but notice. Verse 15. Walk as wise. Many men have knowledge, but no wisdom. Now, all the treasures, turn to Colossians hurriedly, just a couple of books over. And don't get away from this truth. Let it burn into your personality. And there are two verses here that I want to read to you. Verse 2 and 3, chapter 2 of Colossians. Paul is praying here for the people of Colossae. He never saw the Colossians, as the first verse will tell you. Of chapter 2. You've never seen my face. But he prays for them that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now here's how this is brought about. To acknowledge the mystery of God and other fallen of Christ is not in the text. The mystery of God, in just one word follows that, Christ. That's the mystery of God, Christ himself. He is the most paradoxical person that ever walked this planet. Because he is God, the very God. He is man, the very man. That's impossible. That's a secret of God. And as Paul puts it in his letter to Timothy, without controversy, great is this mystery, that God was manifest in the flesh. That's the greatest paradox in all the world. If you can answer that paradoxical rationally, then all the questions of the Bible are simple child's play. To illustrate, great theologians argue about the sovereignty of God and the free will of men. These two great truths run parallel from Genesis to Revelation. I've sat in theological classes listening to their arguments, and some of them are very good arguments. But only God himself can reconcile such a truth. And in eternity, if you're still bothered, you ask him, he'll straighten you out. It has a lot of headaches, you see. But the greatest paradox of all is Christ himself. Men deny the deity of Christ because of that paradox. See, because they can't rationally figure it out. Many great truths are that way. You're a paradox. Look at what the world sees and what you really are. That's what's being called to our attention here. To walk worthy of the calling. That's you've got to know yourself. And to be wise. You don't only have to have knowledge, but wise. Going on now to Colossians in verse 3. This Christ, who's the mystery of God, in him is hidden what? All, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see? Many men who do not have a lot of knowledge may have wisdom. Many men who have a lot of knowledge have very little wisdom. The source of it is Christ, who is the head of God's people. The word head is a source of being. The Canadian River down here has a source up in New Mexico, northern New Mexico. That's the head. Christ is the head of God's people. We are a new creation. We spent a little time on that 3 or 4 Sundays back. God is not taking an old man and making him over. He's through that old man. He walks with me. That old dead man walks with me. You read about that in a little poem a minute ago. I'm going to drop him one of these days. He ain't going to give me no more trouble. But in the meantime, I got to put up with him. He carries my name. And he caused me all kind of trouble. Shames me everywhere I go. But thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. That's the verb structure there. Namely, that it's continuous action. Now, if I want to enjoy the fellowship of that fact, then I must have a meeting of mind with God about these things. That's what the word confession means. I can spout with my mouth all day long. But if my heart is not in it, but I don't have an agreement with God about these things, then I don't enjoy the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. You see? That's why people are going to psychiatrists and having mental and nervous breakdowns. Because the guilt of the human heart. And they're definitely guilty. But they need not have that fellowship. If we walk in the light as he's in light. When you walk in the light, what do you see? You see the glory and the perfection and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, you see yourself for what you are. And at the same time, you realize that his blood keeps on cleansing every second, every hour of the day. And you can raise up and say, thank you, Lord. I praise God for that. See? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Never make a mistake about that. If you're obedient in doing it God's way, you have his ear. If you do it your way, you're just beating your head against the wall. God is like a great passenger train. Its own track. Its own time. It's not going to get off the track. It's not going to be on off time. If you want to ride in his fellowship, you've got to get on train. I remember years ago I saw a play by, I don't know whether they call him Negroes or black man or what, but anyhow, it was that kind of a play. I'm not trying to patronize him or please him, but that's a fact. And I remember one thing about it. That old song, that story was about green pastures, the name of it. And it was a great train on it. whatever colored man wrote that story, he really captured it because it was right. God's train is passing right along. It's going. It doesn't take any side roads. It's going. If you're going to walk in fellowship with him, you've got to get on the train. That's what the colored people said. That's right. You've got to walk worthy. And that is walking in the light as he's in the light. Recognizing what you are. There's not a single sin mentioned in here that every one of you is not guilty of. Whether you ever carried out the act or not. If I could peel back the cover of your head and look in your brain, even if you never actually did these things, it would be rotten as hell itself. You see? God sees that. He looks on the heart. He sees you for what you really are. When you understand this, you can appreciate then the grace of God in a way that you never appreciated. You see? And you will begin by His energy, by His grace, to put the old man down. As I said at the outset, the greatest sin that God's people commit is failure to recognize the old man for what he is and to put him in his place. Now, some of the things that will bother you as you travel this pilgrim way, some things God will not put down. That will bother you until you understand it. Namely, there's some things that God took out of your life. Boy, you would get so big-headed and so, look at me, I've overcome this, I did this, you know. And you'd have, first thing you know, you'd have reports every Sunday morning. How much you growed and how much money you took in and all that. Look at us, how big we're getting here. We're really setting the woods on fire. If we ever get to set the woods on fire, I'm going to be suspicious and have to take another look at my hole card. That was from back. I picked that up from before I got saved. I used to have a hole card. I used to gamble a little bit, so I understand that, you see. But it wasn't wasted. God lets me know about that. Paul uses over and over again the illustrations of his early life to demonstrate great truths of the Bible. God didn't. There's not a thing in your life that God wastes. He used everything. That's what we read. Notice that. Verse 20. Giving thanks for what? Some things? No. All things. Because there's nothing wasted. God does not waste things. He's a Scotsman, I believe. That's what I come from. I'm a Scotch, you know. He don't waste things. He's thrifty. I've failed my heritage, I think. But anyway, that's the way. Now notice carefully how he makes a comparison here. Verse 17 and 18. Be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. This should have been done a long time ago. And I'm thinking most of your case you've done this. But just to remind you, if you haven't. This is a must in amongst God's people. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God. Notice, this is no command. It's an appeal based upon the love of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the love of God, that you present your bodies. What is all your trouble coming from? A living sacrifice. God not asking for a dead sacrifice. The dead sacrifice has been taken care of. Living sacrifice. Be not conformed to the age. Boy, I'll tell you, we're bombarded in this age from every angle under the sun. And if you're not saturated in this word, the brainwashing that's going on in this world is to do one thing. That's to capture your mind. See? The world right now is in a great struggle for the battle of the mind. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you know the truth. Truth will make you free. See? But you must know the truth. And there's only one place, as we read a while ago, in him dwelleth all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Be not unwise, but know what is the will of the Lord. This is how You want to know what God wants you? I beseech you, therefore, then because of the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to the age, but be you transfigured by the renewal of the mind. God needs to do the brainwashing. See? By the washing of the water of the Word. We'll be looking at that next Sunday. The washing of the water of the Word. Nowhere else. That's the fountain you draw from. That's walking in the light. That's in fellowship with Him. If you're tired, you want to go to sleep. When you get old, you get tired a lot, I know. And how comfortable that bed calls. You know? But that's the time. It's those times when you want to do what you want to do that you take aside in the Word. And look what God has to say. Look at the mirror. And these will be some of the most precious times in your life. It's when you do it God's way and say, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'm a little tired tonight. When you do that, you see, God looks on the heart. Notice. God knows. He knows as if you never made a good sound reading of the 139th Psalm, I beg you to do so. Every thought, everything of your being is under His constant scrutiny. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Actually, the Bible says they're counted. That's even stronger. Every time you lose a hair out of your head, God said, well, take that out of the book. You don't have that hair anymore. That's a computer, brother, that the world knows nothing about. See? That's the infinite God we're talking about. That's the one who bought you, paid for you. Our time is gone, but I got this. This is pitiful the way I'm covering this. But anyhow, we're to walk as the light, you see. Lastly but not least, verse 21. Submitting yourselves. Now, this is not talking about the world. Keep in mind, the Ephesian letter has nothing to do with the lost. It's written to God's people. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When you have what you might consider a little edge on your brother, that's the time you need to be subjective. The word submit means to put everything in order. See, God is orderly. The very word cosmos, world, means a perfect order. Now, you can use it in the sense of the world. It's not the perfect order. But as God uses it, He's talking about His perfect order. Everything is perfection in God's place. And that word means to submit, putting everything in its proper place. There's a lot of things that are proper in one place that are not proper in another. In your own home. You do not put your bed in the living room. That's not the proper place for it. There's a place for the bed, but not in the living room. Now, I realize some poor folk have to have a bed in the living room, but that's not the proper place for it. That's because of the circumstance. So I'm not jumping, or I'm not telling you how to arrange the interior of your house, but I'm using that as an illustration. This is how we should deal with people. If we deal with people who have not advanced in the Scriptures like you have, or you think you have, then you have an atmosphere in the natural sense of being very cold, very deadly, and sometimes real cruel. We're to walk, notice, as we begin this study today, we're to walk how? In love. That's not cruel. It's not cold. It's warm. You don't have to tell anybody you're a Christian. Sit with me for an hour. I'll tell you whether you are or not. Because there'll be something, an atmosphere you'll throw off. I may not like some of the things you do or say, but there'll still be an atmosphere that's permeated the love of God. People will take note, as they did with the apostles. They were unlearned men. But they took note of one thing. They'd been with Jesus. That's what people need to notice, that you've been with Jesus. Usually they look at all your bad flaws. But when they get to know you, those that are Christians will recognize that you've been with the Lord. That's what counts. Father God, again, for the word and the admonition to walk worthy, we do thank you. If by chance there's somebody here, however, does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may a spirit of restlessness be that one's until they come to rest in Jesus. But to your own, may the comfort of the Holy Spirit, as he takes of Christ and makes him what he really is, be ours this day and the walk ahead. And these graces, because we pray these things in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.